And let's turn again to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and our overarching lesson for the morning today is this. To be a growing Christian, you must keep learning Christ. To be a growing Christian, you must keep learning Christ. You never stop learning Christ. Today, Paul teaches us the difference between the former man that we saw last week, the old self, as Paul frequently says. This was the Gentile pagan before we belonged to the Lord, but before we were of faith. Last week, we saw that this is someone who descends further and further down into the depths of sin, hardened in their heart, living in darkness, alienated from God, greedy for every kind of sin and impurity. What is the difference between this former man, the old self, and who you are now, Christian? Paul says the difference is this: you keep learning Christ. You are a growing Christian, and you must keep learning Christ. In our world, there are an infinite number of distractions vying for our... We must continue learning Christ, pursuing Christ with all of our heart. And so let's read together Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 20. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word, Father, your word of life, your word that is eternal, your word that stands forever, Lord. Father, today we ask that you would pour your truth into our hearts. Lord, we desperately need your wisdom and your guidance. Lord, we need the comfort of your word, Father. We are weary from the world and from the pursuits of the world, Father. And what a blessing it is to come be with your people that is eternal and guides us in every good way, Lord. We so need your word desperately today, Lord. So pour in your truth with the help of your Spirit. Comfort us and encourage us and convict us where we need it, Lord. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, we'll consider 3 points this morning, school of Christ. And the first is this: the subject is Christ. In verse 20, when we begin, you see this, that there is a learning of Christ there, we could say, is a school of Christ. And we see in verse 20, what is taught in the school of Christ? Verse 20, but that is not the way you learned Christ. What is the subject matter of this school learning Christ? It is Christ himself. Now in verse 20, this is connected. You know this is connected to the previous verses because it begins with the word but. And so it's pointing us back to verses 17 and 19, comparing with the former way of life. The pagans who were alienated from God in the hardness of their heart. Why did they live this way? Because they had not yet learned Christ. But Paul says, you know better than to live like this. You know better than to live like you did before Christ because you have learned Christ. You have learned this subject. And notice verse 20. It's so important to see how Paul states this. The grammar here in verse 20. Look again. He says, learned about Christ. Not that you learned of Christ. You see the difference? Not that you learned some stories or some Sunday school lessons or heard some messages about Christ. Paul is saying you learned Christ, meaning you learned Christ the person. Our family just got a new dog a couple months ago, Tippy, and we know about dogs, but we have had to learn our dog, things about our specific dog, what she likes and what she doesn't like and what makes her anxious and what makes her happy and all of these different things. My wife and I, we just, by God's grace and praise to God, we just celebrated our 14th anniversary. And our whole marriage has been learning one another as a person. What she loves and what I love and what I like and what she likes and what we dislike and what makes each other happy and sad and joyful and all these things. This is what Paul is saying about Christ. He's saying to learn Christ is to learn a person. Not just learning some facts about him. You see the difference? It is learning the very heart of Christ. What Christ loves. What he hates. Why he came to earth. Why he died. The compassion that he has for his sheep. The way that he preached. How he taught. Why he did all the things that he does. Where he is now. So to learn Christ is not just learning some facts about Christ. It is learning who he is as a person and learning to follow him. Now Jesus adds something to this in Matthew 11. So I want you to turn over to learning Christ. Matthew 11, verse 28. Jesus says this. Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Okay, see, there's the same statement. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So from Jesus' mouth himself, from the very words of Christ, to learn Jesus the person is to attach yourself to him, to take his yoke upon you, meaning to serve alongside your Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus has this beautiful promise, this good news, Christian, that when you learn from Christ, this is where you find rest for your soul. This is where you find true comfort and fulfillment for your soul. The pagan man, the man of the former life that we learned about in the preceding verses, the previous verses, this man has no rest for his soul. We saw last week in verse 19, this man is greedy for every type of impurity, meaning he's unfulfilled. He has this insatiable appetite for more sin, more pleasure. What can this world offer me? There's no rest. But Christ says, when you attach yourself to me and when you learn from me, when you serve with me, this is where you find true rest for your soul, eternal rest. And then notice verse 21. Learning Christ is summed up in one word. You see this? Truth. Verse 21, the truth is in Jesus. Again, not a truth, not one of many truths, the truth. When you come to Jesus and when you learn Christ, you are learning the truth, the one truth in all of the worlds. Christ the Lord Jesus, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So learning Christ is learning the person who embodies absolute, perfect, eternal truth. Paul says you must be a learner of Christ. You have learned Christ. You are no longer the former pagan man. Now you know Christ. You've attached yourself to him. You're serving with him. This is where you find rest for your weary soul. So we see that the subject is Christ. And then second, in our outline today, we see the teacher is of his own school. You're learning of Christ, but also Christ is the teacher. And who better to teach us about himself than Christ himself? Imagine teachers teaching a course about yourself. You would be able to teach for days and days because who knows better about themselves than you? That's what Paul is saying about Christ. He teaches us about himself. He is the teacher. Look to verse 21. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him. Now, I prefer the New American Standard Bible translation of verse 21, and listen to see if you can hear the difference of verse 21 in this other translation. Verse 21 reads this way, assuming you have heard him. Okay, not assuming you have heard about him, but assuming you have heard him. I think that's more accurate to the Greek original Greek, that the about is dropped. And so the statement reads, you have heard him. Meaning when you learn Christ, you are listening to him. You are listening to his very voice. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now what is Paul exactly saying here when he says that we hear the voice of Christ? Is Paul saying that Jesus speaks to each, that we can hear, and Jesus speaks to each one of us like this? No, that's not what he's saying. We hear his voice in the Scriptures. Hebrews 1 tells us that long ago God spoke through the prophets, but now in these last days he has spoken by his Son. Meaning, Christ speaks to us through his word. He has spoken finally and completely to us in his word. You want to hear the voice of Christ, Christian? You want to learn from Christ himself? Then you listen to the Scriptures. Christ speaks to us through his word. Actually, the preaching of the word is one of the primary places where Christ speaks to his sheep. Through the preaching of the word, Christ's voice is speaking to you. Listen to Luke chapter 10. Jesus is speaking to his commissioned servants, and Jesus says this, "The one who hears you hears me." Meaning when someone commissioned by God faithfully preaches the word of God, the audience is hearing the voice of Christ. Calvin says this, John Calvin says, "Wherever the gospel come in person to solemnly summon us." Psalm 95 and Hebrews 3 say, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Christ speaks through the preaching and the teaching of the word and through his Scriptures. Now, many Bible teachers and preachers sadly miss this point. Many make the preaching and teaching of the word about the person who's delivering the message rather than making it about Christ and the voice of Christ. The idea is not for you to hear from a man. The idea is for you to hear from the voice of Christ. Think about this. How many of you go to a concert, and after the concert, you say, "That was an amazing microphone up there on the stage. Can you believe the sound quality of that microphone? I could hear every single thing that person's saying." And when you go to a concert, you say, "What a beautiful voice that singer had. I couldn't believe how wonderful their voice sounded." You don't think about the microphone, unless maybe you're a sound tech person like a deacon in the church. You don't think about the microphone, you think about the person who's singing. When you come to hear the word of God preached and you hear the word taught, you don't think about the person who's speaking. They're just the microphone. They're the mouthpiece. You are meant to hear the voice of Christ. He is the one speaking. He is the one singing. He's the one who you are to leave with his voice in your ears. The preacher is just a microphone. Christ is the one calling out to his sheep. Wherever the gospel is faithfully preached, it is the voice of Christ. Now there's another dynamic to Christ's teaching. Notice verse 21. We read, "You have heard about him and were taught in him." You are taught in him. Now, in him, this phrase, in him or in, uses this phrase, in him or in Christ, over 20 times through Ephesians. It's all throughout Paul's letters. In him is what Paul replaces. He doesn't call us Christians. He says we are in him or we are in Christ. Paul says in Ephesians, in him we have redemption. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. In him we have obtained an inheritance. In him we have boldness and access. In him means to be joined to Christ, to abide in Christ. You have attached yourself to Christ. Everything is in him. My uncle was a public school teacher in the Oklahoma City schools. He taught sixth grade for over 40 years. And one of my favorite stories, my uncle is a very kind man. He's a godly man. He's been a deacon in the Baptist church for at least 50 years at this point. He's walking in the Lord, has a wonderful family. But many years ago, he had a student in his class who was abandoned by his family. And my uncle had the opportunity, all of his kids were out of the house at this time, and so he had the opportunity to provide foster care for this sixth grade boy who was in his class. So for that boy, my uncle was no longer just his teacher, right? It became life-on-life teaching. He was his teacher, he was his dad, he was his coach. He learned everything from my uncle. It was round-the-clock teaching. He learned how to be a godly man, how to treat a wife one day, how to work, how to serve, going to church, eating meals together, waking up and going to bed. He learned everything from my uncle, his teacher. He was with his teacher all the time. That's what Paul is saying here about what it means to be taught in Christ, in Him. It means we are found in Christ at all times. It is no longer we just come to church on Sundays and learn about Christ. We are with our teacher all the time. You see the difference? You are in Christ always. As a Christian, you abide in Christ. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, you are always with your teacher. That's the idea of discipleship. And actually, this word learn that we see at the beginning of our passage, it's closely related to the word disciple, which is an apprentice. You're someone who's always learning from your teacher at all times. Then third, this morning, we see the homework. There's an expectation of those who are in the school of Christ, those who are learners of Christ. There are everyday assignments for you as learners of Christ. And Paul gives us three marks, three homework assignments for the student of Christ. And first, in verse 22, we see putting off. Verse 22 says, "To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires." How do you know that you are a growing, good student in the school of Christ? You are putting off the old desires of the sinful flesh. Now, we get a vivid picture of what this looks like in Acts chapter 7. In Acts chapter 7, that's where we're actually introduced to Paul, the Apostle Paul, for the very first time. Back then, he was Saul. And in Acts 7, there's the terrible scene where Stephen, the first deacon of the church, Stephen was being stoned for preaching. 7 verse 58, that Saul was standing by and watching. He was cheering it on, actually. Cheering on the stoning of Stephen. And it tells us this interesting fact that the people came and they laid down their coats at the feet of Saul. This word laid down is the same word that we see in Ephesians 4:22, to put off. To put off your old self means it's the idea of taking off a heavy garment and laying it down. Now, why did those people need to lay down their garments at the feet of Saul? So that they could throw the heavy stones without being inhibited by a heavy coat that's hanging over their shoulders. That coat was weighing them down. They weren't free to do what they needed to do. That's what Paul is saying about our sin. When we hold on to our sin, it's like we're wearing this heavy, weighted coat that is keeping us from serving the Lord. It's weighing us down, restricting and inhibiting and stifling our movement for the Lord. Actually, in Hebrews 12, we see the exact same word. Hebrews 12 says, "Let us lay aside or put off every weight and the sin that clings so closely and run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now think of trying to run a race with a heavy pack on your shoulders or a heavy coat weighing you down. Paul says, Christian, you've got to take off this heavy garment of sin and toss it off. Throw it off. Those disgusting, filthy, you know, I think of a wet jacket or a wet coat that's just dirty and soggy and it's weighing on you and it's heavy and it's uncomfortable. You just want to take it off. That's the sin, Paul says. We must put it off. That belongs to the old man. In order to walk with Christ and grow with Christ and run this race of faith, we've got to throw it off. Now, one author says this, "The problem is that these old garments can be so comfortable and natural to us. Many of us have worn these garments so long, we hardly even notice them anymore. We need the Holy Spirit to reprove us." Isn't that true? Sometimes we can be so comfortable with this heavy, wet, gross garment of sin. We don't even realize we're carrying it anymore. We need the Holy Spirit to remind us. That belongs to the former life. Toss it off. Throw it off. And notice again in verse 22, something about these desires of deceitful desires. They lie to us. They trick us. And we just learned about Christ, that Christ is the truth, from Christ, who is the absolute truth embodied. And these sinful desires of the old flesh, these are lies. So Christian, when you abide in Christ, when you come to Christ and you learn from Christ, then Christ pushes out the darkness and pushes away these desires. Just as when you shine a flashlight in a dark room, the darkness is expelled. When you continue to put on Christ, you're enabled to drive away these sinful, deceitful desires. Let me say something here about putting off in the Christian life. You will never stop putting off the old sinful flesh. Until you reach heavenly glory, Christian, it will be a daily exercise to put off the old man. It will be an everyday battle to throw off these garments. An everyday battle against your pride, against your discontent, against all the sins that we struggle with. But Paul offers an encouragement here. Notice what he says about putting off sin, verse 22. He says, these corrupt desires belong to the old self. You see this? These are of the former life. I want you to listen to Romans chapter 6. A great encouragement in this fight of putting off the old self. Romans 6, verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. You hear this? Sin no longer rules over you. You do not have to wear this heavy garment of sin. The old self was crucified. The old self died with Christ. You have been set free from sin. You have the freedom in Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit to throw off this garment of sin and walk with Christ. Romans 6:11, Paul says, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Christian, by the help of the Holy Spirit, you may have victory over sin. This idea of putting off sin, you can do this, not by yourself, but because you are a new creation in Christ and God has given you strength. You have all that you need in Christ to today say no to sin and walk with Christ. So we see putting off, and then we see putting on. Notice verse 24. Put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, Paul uses clothing or garment imagery again here in this phrase to put on. It says, holy garments of sin, and now you're putting on these new garments of true righteousness and holiness, garments of Christ-likeness. You put on the new self. And notice something about the new self that Paul says here. He says it is created, meaning that you don't have to create this new self. Christ has done this for you. Christ has already given you new life. He's given you the strength to put off sin, and he's given you the strength to daily put on Christ-likeness, righteousness, and holiness. One pastor says, you don't create the garments of righteousness and holiness. You just daily put them on. Christian, are you daily clothing yourself in the righteousness and holiness of Christ? And then a third and final homework assignment for those in the school of Christ, we see in verse 23 is a renewed mind. Verse 23 says, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. Now this word renewed, it has a meaning of renovation, your mind being renovated. Now, what happens to a home or a house if you just leave it alone? If you don't touch anything, you don't fix anything in your house, what happens to that house? Sooner than later, it starts to fall apart, right? The roof wears out, the paint starts to chip off, the wood starts to rot, it has to be fixed. Fixing what's broken, tossing out the old, putting in the new. Paul is telling us it's the same with our mind. Your spiritual mind is constantly under renovation. Your spiritual mind is a constant construction zone. You're constantly renovating. And how do you renovate your mind? The spirit of your mind is through the Word of God. Listen to what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, a familiar passage. Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Paul's warning us here. He's saying there is a constant aggressive push from the world. A constant aggressive push saying, conform yourself to the world's image. Now, I know, Christian, that you feel this. You feel it in all areas of life, from the workplace to the school and media, everywhere. There's a constant push. Conform yourself, conform your family, your children, to the mind of the world. Deepness of heart, alienation from God, the desires of the former man. The world is constantly saying, conform with us. But Christian, there is true transformation for you. How does it come? In the renewal to be conformed to the world, you renew your mind. Paul says you discern the will of God as you study the Scriptures. Your mind is renovated, made new over and over again by the Word of God, by hearing and abiding and obeying the Word of God, the truth of God. You know, in the former life, your mind is deteriorating and just constantly falling apart and getting worse and worse, falling more and more into sin. But the Christian mind is being renewed and renovated day by day. This is why it's so important for you to be in worship week after week. This is why it's so important for you to participate in Bible studies and Wednesday prayer and all these different opportunities, because you are in a fight for your spiritual mind. You're in a fight against the world. God has given us the greatest tool in all the universe, the sword of God, His very word. So we slice through the enemy and we slice through all of these influences in our world. We slice through it with the word of God. We're victorious with the word of God. You're renewed in your mind, because a student in the school of Christ will be one who's putting off, putting on, and one who's renewed in the mind. Let me give us two applications as we close this morning, two things to take with you. The first is this: true repentance. This passage demonstrates what true repentance is. Paul says we are to put off and we are to put on. This is true repentance. And I wonder if many Christians are not half repenters. Let me give you an example. Say you get angry at your spouse or your child or another Christian, another person, and you get angry and you have an outburst at this person. And you do the right thing, you're convicted of sin by the Holy Spirit, and so you go and you confess your sin and you repent and seek forgiveness from that person. You say, I'm so sorry, that was anger on my part, that was wrong, please forgive me. And then that's it. Paul's telling us here that that's only halfway there. You put off, you did the first part, but what about putting on? You took off the old garment of sin and the garment of righteousness and Christ-likeness. In this case, in that particular example, when you went and confessed your sin and sought forgiveness, you put it off, but then what do you put on? You say, Lord, teach me patience. Lord, show me your Son, Jesus Christ, and how He was patient with those who sinned against Him. Teach me self-control, Lord. Teach me kindness. Teach me love. Teach me compassion. Lord, clothe me in righteousness and holiness. See, true repentance is not just putting off sin. It's putting on righteousness and walking in Christ-likeness. Zacchaeus is one of my favorite examples of this. Remember Zacchaeus, the rich tax collector? Remember what he did when he met Christ? He immediately repaid those people who he had stolen from. He repaid them four times what he stole. He went well above and beyond the law, what the law required. He restored four times more. He put off the sin, right? He put off the sin of greed and lying and stealing, and at the same time, he put on generosity. He clothed himself with generosity. So Christian, in order to grow in Christ's likeness, you do both. You put off and you put on. And by the renewing of your mind, you continue to put on. Well, I'll close with this. A second application will begin to look like the teacher. I told you about my uncle and this student that he took in. My uncle, his name is Tom. Actually, he's Uncle Tom. And his student was named Rondell. Rondell was in sixth grade when my uncle took him in. Rondell looked up to my uncle so much. He went to school, to college and grad school. He became a teacher. He came to Christ. He got married. Had children. Like my uncle, he's a deacon in the same church. He's been a successful principal for many years now. The student, day by day and year by year, began looking more like the teacher. That's what happens when you come to Christ and you learn from Christ and you abide in Christ. You grow into the image of your teacher. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the work of Christ in our lives. Help us, Father, to be learners of Christ, to continue to look to him, to abide in him, Lord, and mold us into his image, we pray. Amen.